Proverbs chapter 1, will you turn there, please? And we went through verse 14 last week. And we looked at verses 11 and 14 where it says, if they say, come with us, it's talking about sinners enticing you in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, and last week we saw that's the first step. And then down in verse 14, they say, cast in thy lot among us. And so the first step of even a Christian going the wrong direction is coming with them. The Bible tells us to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And we talked about people getting in with the wrong crowd. And sometimes we at school hear that, so-and-so got in with the wrong crowd. Well, that was just the first step. The first step was they went with them. But the reason they're having trouble is because they did verse 14. They cast in their lot among them there. And so there is advice to guard the kinds of people with whom we associate. And as parents, we have that responsibility to make sure, you know, whether it's sleepovers or school or activities. And it's a wonderful thing that we can have, whether it's sports or other youth activities here. Not all of our kids are saved and, you know, faithfully serving the Lord. But we have teacher supervision, and we can provide that kind of environment for them there. And so that's where we ended last week with, come with us, cast in thy lot among us. Now we come to verse 15. It says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. The Bible tells us in the New Testament to resist the devil. And here is what he's telling them to. Don't walk in their ways. You know the saying that the best... Now I just got it backwards. I can't remember. The best offense is a good defense, or the best defense is a good offense, and maybe both are just as true there. And of course, we need to be on the offense, you know. And so here he says, don't fall, verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path so that you don't fall. Have you ever lost your balance and fell? Have you ever done it on maybe a long slope, like a big hill, and hopefully not downstairs? In the middle of going down, trying to stop yourself. It doesn't work, does it? You just wait till you get to the bottom. That's what they say, falling is not so bad. Just that sudden stop at the end, it kind of hurts there. And that's the way it is when they start to walk that way, start to fall and stumble. The downward path gets so fast and you can't stop it until you've hit rock bottom. So the admonition is don't walk with them because their path is going to lead to stumbling there. Now verse 16, for their feet run to evil. Notice walking, verse 15, now running in verse 16. Their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. And so going the wrong direction starts with a walk, and then they start to pick up speed, and it says they make haste to shed blood. When it says they make haste there, it has to do with making quick decisions. They don't think about the consequences of those decisions, and oftentimes it brings death. It sheds blood. Sometimes to themselves, sometimes to others. So he says, their feet are running quickly to evil. The word evil here is a word that means worthless, something that's bad with no value. So it could be evil in the sense of wicked sinfulness that we think of, or it could be something that maybe is not that bad, but there's not anything wholesome or spiritually helpful to it. And so he says, their feet are constantly running to things that don't really have any value. They're not really worth anything. And they start walking that way, and eventually it's like falling downhill, and they start to run and pick up speed, and it just gets worse along the way. Verse 17, he gives us a mind picture here to kind of explain. He says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Did any of you, whenever you were kids, try to catch birds? I mean, they had this really unique way of trying to catch birds. You get this box and you prop it up with a stick and put a string and put food in it, and then you go away and wait for the bird to come and eat the bread, and then you pull the stick. Well, the little boy's doing that, you know, and he's right out in the open about as far as from here to the door, and he's not hiding at all, and no birds come, you know. And that's because they see. And that's what this verse is saying here. Surely in vain the net is spread. And so the lesson here is that these people that say, come with us and cast your lot among us, they don't tell you the end result of what's going to happen if you're snared like a bird. And so people who are trying to catch the bird, they make it deceptive. They don't want the bird to know what they're trying to do. He's going to be plucked. And so when sinners entice people and try to get them to walk their way, Satan doesn't want us to know the end result. So he disguises that. And so the path that he's discouraging us from following, the end result of that path is not clear. For if we knew that it was going to bring shedding of blood, as we saw in the previous verse, we wouldn't go that route. But Satan disguises it. Now, verse 18, he says, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. And so they're destroying themselves. Whenever they lay wait, the sinners trying to ambush others, they're really ambushing themselves. And they can't blame God for it. They might try. People can't blame God for being destroyed. People can't blame God for going to hell. He's done everything he can to prevent that. And so here they lay wait for their own blood. And so whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And this principle of sowing and reaping is throughout this passage in chapter 1 here. Verse 19 says, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Greedy of gain, covetousness. What does Colossians say about covetousness? It's the same as idolatry. That's in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. There, I think that's right. No, excuse me, Colossians 3:15. Covetousness is as the sin of idolatry. But in verse 19, it says, so are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain. This principle of sowing and reaping doesn't show favoritism. It applies to everybody. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap there. And notice the irony in verse 19. It says, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. So in their efforts to gain something, covetousness, it says it takes away the life. So they lose. So what they think is going to be gain, they actually lose there. And we who are believers, we have the Holy Spirit and we have the teaching of God's Word, and we know those things. And they seem so obvious, don't they, to us? We know that. But there are people that are misguided and deceived by Satan there. And he gives us these warnings. Now, when we come to verse 20, verses 20 and following, they show a plea of wisdom. Notice it says, wisdom cries without. Verse 21, she cries in the chief place, saying, how long, verse 22, will you love simplicity? Verse 23, turn at my reproof. So wisdom is personified in these verses. And wisdom is crying out for people to follow her. And that is in contrast, starting back in verse 10, where it says, if sinners entice thee. If they're calling out to you to follow them, don't listen. So we have Satan, who works through people, calling out to all of us to take us down a certain path. And we have God's Holy Spirit speaking to us, calling us to go a certain path. And so there are two paths, and we choose which one we're going to go. And those two paths have different destinations there. For a person who is being called to salvation, they either choose the path to hell or the path to heaven there. For those of us who are believers, whenever the Lord convicts us of something, He's drawing us down a path to do something and we go the other way, we'll find out there are some consequences to that. Not hell for the believer, but some other consequences we'll see as we get further in to chapter 1. So notice as wisdom is crying out in Colossians 2:3, it tells us that Christ is made unto us wisdom. So we see that Christ is wisdom. And so when we look at this wisdom personified, we can see a lot of Christ in it as He calls to us as well. And so let's look at the cry of wisdom as it's contrasted to the plea of the wicked. First of all, it says it cries out. Wisdom cries without. And so here the cry is not coming from a group of people. The contrast to the sinners, it says, here's this group of sinners calling you out to be among them. But wisdom, it doesn't say those who are wise, this wise group. And the reason is, when wisdom cries out, sometimes it calls us to go the path alone because there are not too many people going that path. And so he says, wisdom cries without. Without means to everyone. Anyone can respond to the call of Christ. The call for salvation is to everyone. God loved the world. He gave Himself for everyone, and the call for salvation is to all there. But not all respond. Some reject the call and go their own way. Well, not only are they this wisdom cry without, it says she utters her voice in the streets there. And not just in the streets. Verse 21 says she cries in the chief place of concourse here. That Hebrew phrase is a phrase that means in the noisy places. In other words, where the people are. So wisdom is crying out to the multitudes, where all the people are. And wisdom is crying out, follow me. Where when sinners try to entice us and go that way, it leads to falling and stumbling and shedding of blood. But when wisdom cries out, there's great benefit there. She cries in the chief place of concourse. Not only there, verse 21, wisdom cries out in the openings of the gates. In the Old Testament, there at the gates of the city, that's where the rulers met to do business. And also, that's where businessmen met to make transactions. Because whenever they had transactions to make, they didn't have written down paper like we do with contracts. There would be people around who would serve as witnesses there. And so here at the gates in this chief place of concourse is where the multitudes are. It's where the rulers, the political people are, where the businessmen are. It says wisdom is crying out to everybody and also to rulers and to politicians. And many of them are saying, we don't want God's wisdom. And we see that today as well, going their own way rather than accepting the wisdom of God. So now we come to verse 22, and wisdom asks the question, how long? How long are you going to keep refusing wisdom? And in this verse, we see three classes of people that wisdom addresses. And these three classes of people are shown throughout the book of Proverbs. We'll see them as we go through this book. The first one is simple. The second one is scorners. And the third one is fools. And so wisdom says, how long? Simple ones, well, you love simplicity. And the scorners, How long are you going to delight in scorning? And the fools, how long are you going to hate knowledge? And so let's look at each one of those different kinds of people briefly, and we'll see them more as we go through this book there. I thought about taking each one of them and just going through the book and doing all the verses on each one and then finishing the book, but I think that would have taken a lot longer. So we'll just look at this particular verse now. We'll get to the simple and the scorners and the fools a little bit later. The simple, that word has to do with people who are easily influenced. So whenever sinners are trying to entice people, they're easily influenced. Now, that's a good thing if they're trying to be influenced for godliness. So there are some people that, you know, they're just will go with the flow. And so it's good when we have people who love the Lord who are trying to encourage them to do right. This word simple, the Hebrew word, comes from the same root Hebrew word. It's the word entice up in verse 10. And so these simple-minded people are easily persuaded. They're easily enticed there. Well, not so with the scorners. The Hebrew word translated scorners here literally means to make a mouth. And what the scorners do, they use their mouth to mock God. They mock holiness. They mock righteousness. They mock when we have convictions of things that we don't do, places we don't go. They'll mock that because they're scorners, and that's what scorners do. Hold your place there and go over to chapter 14. Verse 6, with scorners, it says, a scorner seeks wisdom and finds it not. That person who is mocking God and holiness and the Bible and biblical principles that we hold true to, they try to find wisdom, but they can't find it. It's too high for them. They're looking in the wrong place there. And so these scorners are mocking God. The third group of people that wisdom says how long is to the fool. He says, how long, fools, will you hate knowledge there? And the fools are those that are hardened. They walk after their own sights and they just reject what anyone else, they're the ones that say, you know, my mind's made up, don't confuse me with the facts. You know, they already have their minds made up. Well, in the Hebrew Bible, there are three words that are translated fool. One is the word kisil, and that's the word that is here. And it's a word that means being obstinate, constantly making wrong choices. I'll share with you the other two words, and then we'll see how that one, the one that's used here. The second Hebrew word is the Hebrew word ewil, E-W-I-L. And it has to do with moral misbehavior, especially with boldness, having the audacity just to do things wicked, very foolish there. And the third Hebrew word is one you're probably familiar with. It's the Hebrew word Nabal. What do you know about Nabal? Remember Nabal? Which means having a mean disposition there. And we see that there in the life of David there. And so even as his name is, he's a fool, and so is his name there. So back to the word that's used here, kisil. It means constantly making the wrong decisions. You would think if a person makes a wrong decision and has a negative consequence, they wouldn't repeat that same thing over again. But the fool does the same thing over again. You know, it's like we hear with experience, you know. A person can have 15 years of experience teaching, or they can have 1 year of experience 15 times, you know, and there's a big difference there. And so here with this fool, they go through an experience and they go through the same thing again. They don't learn from their mistakes, and that's what this Hebrew word kisil means. And so the question in verse 22 that wisdom asks, how long, fools? How long are you going to keep making these wrong decisions and having to pay the consequences? For an unsaved person, we think of the verse where the Bible says, today. How long? Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, the Bible says. And so, as Satan, working through people to entice them, he often uses procrastination. And Satan will say, yeah, you do need to do that, but you don't need to do it right now. You've got time. You can do that later. And he uses that. And so here the scriptures are showing us that whenever the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart about something, if we try to put it off and delay, we're being foolish there. God is working on us for something, and if we say no to wisdom's calling, then we are answering the call of the sinners who are trying to entice us, the foolish. So there are only two calls, and there are only two ways. It's either the way of the Lord doing what's right, or it's the way of sinners doing what's wrong. And over in Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wile e coyote, deceptions. And as one preacher said, one of the wiles of the devil is wait a while, and that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to procrastinate. Just put it off. Yeah, you need to get saved, but you don't need to do it today. You can do it. You're too young. You'll have plenty of time. And so whenever God is speaking to your heart or to my heart about doing something or getting some kind of forgiveness from God or from other people, if we put it off, we're hardening the heart and we're going the wrong path. And there are two calls to us, the call to follow this path or the call to follow this path. And may we not be simple-minded and scorners and fools. The other kind of person in Proverbs that contrasts to those three is the wise man, the one who has wisdom. He's the one that listens to the call of wisdom, and rather than the one who is obstinate, constantly making wrong choices, the wise man is listening to the Spirit and following the Holy Spirit's guidance in our lives. And so here's the call from wisdom in verse 23. The call is to turn. Turn you at my reproof. The word means to repent. Repent. Change the direction that you're going. I'm trying to correct you. That's what the word reproof means there. And so a person's response to correction can determine which path he goes. And so there's this fork in the road, and wisdom is crying, come this way. And the devil, through his crowd, is crying, come this way. It will take you the same place, but you'll have more fun, all these things there. But there are two ways, two choices, two destinations. They do not lead to the same place. So in verse 23, he says, turn at my correction, my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit upon you. And the Spirit of the Lord, he is the one that guides us to wisdom. And so whenever we're trying to make a choice, what do I do? Which path do I take? We look at God in his Word. And as we read the Word of God, God will give us wisdom there. We have to listen to God. Satan tries to confuse us. He tries to get us to go the wrong path there. And he likes to make things look appealing. But wisdom cries out, follow me. Follow my Spirit. I'll make known my words to you. Satan doesn't do that. He doesn't make known his words. He confuses us with his words. Then we come to verse 24. We're getting close to, we won't finish the call of wisdom, but we'll find a place nearby to stop for tonight. Verse 24 says, because I have called and ye have refused. So the reason that an unsaved person goes to hell, it's not God's fault, is it? God called. But man refuses. If we end up enduring the consequences of a wrong choice, it's not God's fault. It's our fault for making the wrong choice. And God says he's called us, but you refused there. He says, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. I'm glad that God took the initiative and he's the one that called. And notice the word have in verse 24. It says, I have called. So it's not like God just called one time. When it says, I have called, he's called and he's called. And God constantly calls us. His Holy Spirit continually nudges us to do what's right and follow the right path. He says, but when I called to you, no man regarded. Now that is a very picturesque word there. Regarded means to prick up the ears. We don't have animals, but I have been around them enough to know, maybe some of you do, you have a dog especially, you know, and you say the word treat. You ever seen a dog that their ears just, the ears stick up? Well, that's what this word means here. Now, he says, I stretched out my hand. Now, what if you have in your hand a treat and you say the word treat? You know, boy, that dog, it just, those ears prick up and he comes, doesn't he? When I was at Ron's, when Matt and I went down to see the Braves and Blue Jays game a couple of weeks, they were doing that with Ron's dog, Murphy. I named him after Dale Murphy. It's a she, actually, but it's a Murph there. And so would jump through the hoop, whatever, you know, because treat. The ears would just perk up. Well, here, when we hear God's word, do we regard it? Do our ears perk up when God, you know, Satan, he offers a treat too, doesn't he? But his treats, I think it was John R. Rice who says, said all Satan's apples have worms or something like that. And he'll offer those treats, but all Satan's treats have worms there. But God offers us treats. And so the call to man is twofold. There's a call from sinners who are pawns in the hand of Satan to come this path. But there's blood awaiting. There's falling and pain. But wisdom is calling out, and few people go that way. But those who choose to go that way have the blessings of God, peace and contentment that we'll see next week when we start off in verse 25 and finish out the chapter next week. There, if you have time, you might want to read from 25 to the end of the chapter before next Wednesday to be helpful to you, I'm sure. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Christ, who indeed has made unto us wisdom. And Lord, we have within us the Holy Spirit, and we have your word. So the only reason for us to make wrong choices is because we don't listen. We don't regard your word, or we choose foolishly to go our own way, thinking that we know better, that our counsel is better than your wisdom. So help us as we make choices that we not be simple-minded and certainly not scornful or foolish, but that we would be wise, led of the Spirit in the choices that we make, so that not just to avoid negative consequences, but Lord, so that we honor you with the choices we make. In Christ's name. Amen.